ESP TV's Miranda Parnell in St. Petersburg.
Tropicana field, the top blown completely off, just showing the power of that storm as Hurricane Milton moved through our area. And we know that this is not the only place that saw damage. First responders are still trying to assess different areas in our community, and they are still working to reach people who are trapped in their homes.
All in all, Tampa Mayor Jane Castor is breathing a sigh of relief.
One of the blessings for us is that we didn't see that predicted storm surge. So that was that saved a lot.
More than 3 million homes and businesses in Florida have no power this morning. Pinellas County spokeswoman Ashley Giovanetti.
It's still really early to tell about exactly the extent of the damage. So we really want to just hit home that people need to stay inside until we give the all clear.
CBS meteorologist David Parkinson is tracking the hurricane as it moves eastward into the Atlantic.
The storm is moving out actually a little bit earlier than scheduled, and that's certainly good news because they don't need any more rain in Florida.
Former President Donald Trump traveled to Joe Biden's birthplace, Scranton, Pennsylvania, where he made a false claim about his opponent.
Kamala spent all her FEMA money, billions of dollars, on housing for illegal migrants.
The vice president joined President Biden on a phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. Topic of discussion, Israel's growing incursion into Lebanon. White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
We are working our way back towards a ceasefire process that's going to create a space to negotiate a diplomatic resolution that only ends the fighting.
Retirees watching closely when the government releases the Consumer Price Index next hour. It'll help determine the cost of living increase. As for interest rates, CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
If the index comes in as expected at a 2.3 or a 2.4% year-over-year rate, it's not likely to deter the Federal Reserve from any action or encourage any action.
A new report from the Worldwide Fund for Nature warns we're losing wildlife at an alarming rate. CBS's Vicki Barker.
Among the species affected, elephants in tropical forests and hawksbill turtles off Australia's Great Barrier Reef and the Barrier Reef itself.
S&P futures down 11. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There could be movement in the power struggle at the top of Racine. The city's executive committee is set to meet today to consider ordinance changes that would limit Mayor Corey Mason's power over council agendas. That's a key issue in the ongoing boycott by six council members. The proposed changes, already approved by a majority in the Committee of the Whole, aims to make it easier for council members to schedule items for full council debate. Three of the five executive committee members have previously voted against the changes, putting tonight's meeting up in the air. A recently arrested Kenosha pastor was rearrested this week. After a preliminary hearing for Gabriel Mills on previous charges, a new complaint came forward with allegations of more misconduct. Kenosha police say evidence found on Mills' phone corroborated the new allegations, leading to an additional count of capturing an intimate representation without consent. He allegedly sent racy pictures from the victim's phone to his own. Mills was working at the Journey Church before being fired. And Red Cross workers from Wisconsin are going to try and provide hurricane help. Hurricane Milton made landfall in Florida late last night. A Red Cross rep says 60 team members are either prepared to deploy or already in the field. Some were already sent out earlier for Hurricane Helene relief efforts. To donate to the American Red Cross and for more information about how to help, visit civicmedia.us/help. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
It's the Bucks and the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Los Angeles Lakers tonight in a preseason matchup. At practice yesterday, head coach Doc Rivers discussed how he's teaching some of the new Bucks players how to read opposing defenses.
I'm trying to get them to see the reads, the typical basketball reads, because the more you can do that, you can literally put all kinds of things in, and then your offense becomes dynamic.
NFL, Packers nearly all back at practice yesterday as they play the Cardinals Sunday. The only player out, defensive lineman Devontae Wyatt, with an ankle injury. Romeo Doubs was back but did not speak to reporters. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to play Rutgers. Quarterback Braden Locke asked, how much do they adjust the game plan for Rutgers' tough defense?
Yes, I think you game plan it differently, but it's still our offense. It's still doing things within what we do. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel over here. You know, we're going to do what we do and take advantage of, you know, what I'm good at and what I can process and all that.
That's Badgers quarterback Braden Locke. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mild summery temperatures are only going to hang around for a couple more days. After that, fall will arrive. Today, mostly sunny, 67 tonight, down to 54. We'll get to 80 tomorrow. After that, we're talking 50s to low 60s through the weekend and into next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Grew up in the sticks in Maine. Halloween, that was great. Trick-or-treating. Houses are 5 miles apart. Like running a marathon with a costume on. Every couple of miles, there's a guy with a cup of water with some M&Ms in it.
Keep running, Batman. Keep running.
People from Maine will tell you that they're telling you. Have you noticed that? Geez, pretty cold out there tonight. I'm telling you. Well, yeah. You're looking at me and everything. I hope you're telling me. Everybody in Maine has a truck, too. We have a truck, or we know someone that has a truck. That's right. Anybody in this room can have a truck down here in 5 minutes if we needed one. I could say, I got to move this microphone stand. Well, I'll go get my brother's truck. They got to tell you what kind of truck their brother had. My brother got a Ford 250 Lariat, half-ton Chevy with the woofer him house on the sidewalker. Oh, I'm telling you.
And say hello to the editor of our Wisconsin magazine, Mike Bino. Every 2 months, he comes to talk about the latest issue of our Wisconsin magazine. Now, this is a high-gloss magazine. This is not cheap paper. This is expensive stuff on here. We talk about this every time. But for someone just joining us, Mike, this is expensive to put out because it is a high-gloss publication.
Yes, it is. And you're, thank you, and good morning to you, Don. Thank you very much for having me back. Yes, we, on the newsstand these days, you're seeing fewer and fewer magazines, you're seeing fewer and fewer newspapers, and those that you see have gotten a little smaller. Maybe the paper has gotten a little coarser, a little bit lower grade. As a lifelong guy in the print medium, it saddens me to see that. We try to go the opposite direction. And thankfully, there, for the last 12 years since we've launched the magazine, there are a lot of people who appreciate quality. You pick up something with a UV-coated glossy cover with a lot of color on it, the magazine's got some heft. The cover is in jargon used at Quad Graphics, 100-pound stock and 60-pound for the body. That's thick paper. You can't read through it. But the idea is there's some quality to this, and if you're going to sit back and relax and put your feet up and, you know, read for enjoyment, for entertainment, this is the way to go. We all have varying degrees of screen fatigue these days. We take most of our straight information that way. It's good to get away from it and relax and read. And thanks for noticing that quality, Don.
Let's talk about the cover. This is, you know, by the way, the magazine is 100% Wisconsin. That's all it is, Wisconsin. It stops at all the borders, and it's just Wisconsin. Where did you get this cover from? Autumn leaves with bicycle riders going through the leaves. Where'd you get that?
Yeah, well, Wisconsin is, fall in Wisconsin is just glorious. And the photo you're talking about is showing a group of bike riders coming right at you out of on a woodsy road framed by a lot of orange and yellow leaves, and they're participating in the Tour de Shawamagon, which is near Hayward. It's a three-day event. It's a bike ride covering 104 miles, and it involves a little bit of camping in the Shawamagon Nicolet National Forest. It's this year's event happened the first week in October. Paul Ostrom of Hayward is one of the 40-odd pro photographers that supplies photos for this magazine. So things up in Hayward, like in winter, the Berkey Biner will receive some submissions from Paul. And, of course, up around there, the mountain biking, the fat tire biking, and even the road biking is very, very big. And what a glorious time of year to get out there and enjoy Wisconsin, breathe in some air, and see the colors.
Now, I read that the Tour de Shawamagon is like the second leg after the Tour de France. Am I close or something like that?
Well, you gotta blow up those fat tires real well to get across the water hazard. But, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's right about that. Now, when you open it up, there's another beautiful picture of Wisconsin. The colors are just magnificent.
Yeah, we love to show off the leaves in fall. That's interestingly, that's another photo not real far from Hayward. It's in Sawyer County, and yeah, it's a glorious view of various trees. You got spires of golden tamarack or larch. You have aspen. That's amber. Balsam fir is blending in with us, and there's a little water, a small lake there, lake, pond, and it's kind of a private little hideaway place that the photographer refers to as Ken's Pond. It's not even officially named. Ken, his buddy Ken, just has a hunting camp out there, and he flew his drone and got this overhead look, and we thought it was worthy of the kickoff picture, if you will, when you turn the cover and dive into the issue.
You know, and that's the drones are getting fabulous pictures, pictures you couldn't get before unless you flew a plane over, and that's pretty expensive to do it. But these drones are getting fabulous shots.
Yeah, that is really something that's been fun to see come into its fruition in the last 12 years. You know, the photography. So you're getting drone perspectives, and yeah, you used to have to hire a plane or be a pilot, know how to hang outside in the prop wash and get the right picture, or shoot through a cloudy window. This is much superior. The other interesting thing, and yes, you're getting some neat perspectives. The other interesting thing I've thought about, we launched this magazine off the kitchen table in northern Wisconsin in 12 years ago. And at the time, and we invite readers themselves to send in the stories and their own photos to fill this magazine, so it has a neighborly feel. Now, the big photos on the cover and the ones we're talking about, those come from the pros that have a lot of equipment. But we have a lot of reader pictures in here as well, and it makes it homey. And we had to, 12 years ago, guide the readers, please don't send photos taken with cell phones. Don't take photos taken with cell phones because there's not enough resolution or information, digital information in those pictures. They work well on the web, but to lay ink on paper, you need quite a lot of information in order to form that picture and blow it up to any size. If you start blowing it up without enough resolution, it'll fall apart and kind of dissolve. So we had to constantly preach that. Well, nowadays, we just ran a photo contest with hundreds of entries. The winner shot it with a cell phone.
And that shoots your whole theory.
And it's beautiful because everyone's got them in their pocket and they can send neat shots to us. When this fellow won the photo contest, he won a pair of Packer tickets from us as a grand prize. We transferred those e-tickets to him onto the very same phone he shot the winning photo with.
Boy, it's getting an electronic world. The old days of running to the photo mat
Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
The photo about to get your pictures developed, and then you had to come back. Hey, it's Wednesday. Let's get our pictures. They're all the... And then you sat in the car, and you looked through all your photos in the envelope. Meanwhile, there's a line of cars behind you, but you didn't care because you were checking out all the photos from the photo mat. We're talking to Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin Magazine. Stump fiddling. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a moment here. It is local news and time. Let's say it's WRJN. It's 7:15. It's time for a check of the entertainment beat with Pete.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's always fun when A-listers with good track records team up on a movie project. Deadline reports that Christopher Nolan's next film will be at Universal, the same studio behind Oppenheimer, a film that took home multiple Oscars and made almost $1 billion worldwide. Oppenheimer actor Matt Damon is rumored to play the lead. Like all Nolan projects, the plot of the film is a big secret. But the film is expected to start shooting in 2025 and will have an IMAX release July 17, 2026. Jenna Fischer just disclosed that she was diagnosed with breast cancer last fall, but is now cancer-free. Fischer played Pam Beasley on The Office for the run of the show and decided to go public with her cancer struggle this month, given that she was diagnosed in October 2023. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. She is using her platform to encourage all women to get their routine mammograms, saying if she had waited another 6 months, it might have been too late. Good advice. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And that would be AM 540 in our area, WAUK.
Fountain Hills Apartments presents Mary's Unique Boutique pre-holiday shopping. Come shop for your one-of-a-kind holiday outfit with Mary's Boutique. When? Thursday, October 17th. Where? Fountain Hills Apartments at 1100 Fountain Hills Drive in Mount Pleasant in the C Lobby. Shop for your unique outfit from noon till 4 p.m. This is a free event. Refreshments will be offered in the C Dining Room. That's Mary's Unique Boutique pre-holiday shopping on October 17th at Fountain Hills Apartments in Mount Pleasant.
Hungry for the freshest and most delicious sandwiches? Lee's Deli has you covered. Serving Racine for over 50 years, every bite is delightful. Hot ham and cheese, Reuben, meatball sub, turkey and cheese. Lee's Deli will leave you not just full, but fully satisfied. Check out the brand new online ordering system at leesdeliracine.com for pickup and delivery options. Also, stop in the shop on Washington Avenue for the new Lee's Loyalty Program. Start reaping the tasty rewards at Lee's Deli and Racine, open 7 days a week.
Sometimes people change, and not always for the better. Take Senator Tammy Baldwin. What happened? She's been in D.C. for 25 years. Extreme left-wing groups have showered her with campaign cash, and now she's siding with them. Baldwin supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. That's extreme. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. That's just cruel. Tammy Baldwin used to share our values, but a quarter century in Washington has made her just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Something sounds different on WRJN. We're refreshing hometown radio with local news and timeless hits. Our on-air host will keep you up to date with local, state, and national news every hour, along with Mike Clemens Sports and, of course, the local weather forecast. Then Don Rosen, Cindy Huber, and Kurt Vollman will talk about what's happening right here in our city, county, and state while spinning those timeless hits that are so much fun to hear again. You can hear our Civic Media talk shows on 540 AM WAUK or on the Civic Media app. You can hear WRJN on 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and on our historic AM frequency, 1400 AM. Local news, timeless hits.
WRJN. And now we're talking about what's going on in the state of Wisconsin with Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. So last night, my wife pulled out the issue, and she said, I'm going to read you an article. I love when she reads to me, because it's just, it's, I don't know if it brings me back to my childhood or whatever, but I love when she reads to me. And she's such a great reader, too. She read the story about stump fiddles. Stump fiddles. Now, were these invented in Wisconsin?
I don't think we can claim it as our own invention. However, we, in Wisconsin, we did have a company that trademarked these as a stump fiddle and sold them commercially and shipped them coast to coast. Built them in a furniture factory in Sheboygan, which is known as Chair City. A lot of furniture factories there through history. Found an old furniture factory that was open and started manufacturing these good time instruments and shipping them around the country. Your listeners, I'm sure, especially those who live in rural areas, are familiar with these things. Any little crossroads tavern that you might visit in the evening has one of these things hung up over the back bar usually. What it is you picture a broomstick, and on that broomstick, you've got a rubber ball on the bottom. You can pound that down on the floor along with the beat of some music. Now, attached to that stick, probably 4 feet tall, you've got a pie pan or maybe a metal beer tray. You might have some springs stretched across that pie pan because you're going to hit it with a drumstick. When you come up from the downbeat, bumping it on the floor, you got a little noisemaker. You might have a bell. You might have a little cymbal, a wood block. It's very percussive and very festive. And you play this thing along with music on the jukebox or a polka band, often polka bands will have these things and pass them out to people to accompany the true musicians. And it's kind of a joyous noisemaker sort of thing. It's referred to as an instrument, but I think contraption is a little bit better word for this because it kind of looks mechanical. But they're known as polka cellos. They're known as pogo cellos up and down. They're known as humstrums around Milwaukee and Waukesha. I've heard that them referred to in that way. A boomba, a one-man band fiddle. Everyone's having fun when they're playing these things, but I heard one accomplished musician say to me, one thing I've never figured out about stump fiddle is it's hard to tell when somebody's playing one of these things well, but you're not going to sit there and listen to it like symphony music. The idea is it's fun, and everybody who's playing it seems to have a smile on their face, and they pass it along to the next person because they want to try. And it's caught on through the years, and given a lot of people a lot of fun.
So in other words, you don't have to go to Juilliard to learn how to play this.
I would love to see one of those instructors there pick it up and play it. That would be great.
Okay, go ahead.
School kids like to play them. I mean, they're just a lot of fun. And one person we featured in this article, Eric Steinmetz, he's a master stump fiddler from Waterford. He's got a collection of dozens and dozens of these things. He's built them, and he says they're like pieces of art. And when he gives you a gift of one, you know you're receiving something heartfelt. He's a great school teacher, and he at lunchtime he would bring in these pieces and teach the students how to play them as part of their music class. And I think the song they like working the best besides the chicken dance is We Will Rock You. And yeah, just picture that song. That's nice and percussive.
Yeah, I'm sure Freddie Mercury of Queen would be happy if he can hear that today, and if he can come back from where he is and give a listen to that song, play with a stump fiddle.
I would pay to watch him play a stump fiddle. Too bad we can't anymore.
Yeah. It's we've got about 2 minutes for Paul Harvey, and then we'll come back with more stories. But real quickly here, Stones, Rocks, and Marbles from Hayward, Wisconsin.
Stones, Rocks, and Marbles. We're talking about agates. Yeah. Did you ever shoot marbles when you were a kid?
Way back. I wasn't a big marble fan, but I did collect marbles at one point.
Okay, well, the rock hounds out there will know that agates are stones that have particularly intricate coloration, layers and swirls and all kinds, squares, circles. It's beautiful, made by Mother Nature from volcanic activity years ago. You can find them along Lake Superior or most any water course in this glaciated state that we have. But you got to dig. You got to look hard to find them. This fella John Harris up there finds them, collects them, and he's made some tools, grinding, polishing tools, tumbling tools, that allows him to turn them into marbles. These kind of odd-shaped stones, as you'd guess, he turns them into spears. And it's a hobby that is unusual. People like him collect them. Collectors are a little bit more common. And some of these agate marbles that he makes to collectors are worth $300 to $400 a piece. Yeah. They're beautiful. And for marble players, Aggies, as they're called, they were their prize shooters to knock marbles out of the circular space you played in on the playground.
And you had your... You had your purees too, which were the solid marbles.
Sure, Aggies didn't break. They weren't like glass marbles. They didn't break. But you didn't want, if you're playing for marbles, playing for all the marbles, you didn't want to lose your prize shooter. If you lost your Aggie, you were in trouble.
Yeah, I never played on the professional circuit on ESPN on the ABC Wild World of Sports. I'd never made it quite there. Hang in there. We've got a whole bunch more to talk about, including shoes. And this will bring back some memories for you. We're not talking about shopping at Payless. We're talking about way back when you used to get shoes as a kid. That's coming up. We're talking to Mike Bino, who is the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. The new issue just hit, and we're talking about some of the articles in there. More coming up with Mike in just a moment. But first, it's time for Paul Harvey.
Here, everybody in the Blue Ridge Hills and hollows around Schuyler, Virginia, was a Baptist in those days. Doris and her family were no different, Baptists through and through. One day, Ma and Pa would say, "You'll meet a fine Baptist boy who will marry you and give you a fine Baptist brood." At least that's what they expected, and they had no reason to expect otherwise. Until along came Earl. As any member of the Schuyler Baptist Church could have told you, Earl was a wild young buck, but nobody paid him or his roughneck friends or his suspiciously exuberant kinfolk much mind until Earl came calling on Doris. Doris was 18 at the time. Earl was 2 years older. They reckoned they were old enough to do their own courting, but that's not how folks at the Schuyler Baptist Church had it figured. "To hear who is seeing young Doris," they began whispering to one another behind politely cupped hands. And the answer, "No. Who?" And that would be answered in turn with the appalling gossip, "That rascal Earl, that's who." Could Doris's Ma and Pa possibly approve? Well, in fact, they did not. And to emphasize that fact, Doris's Pa took that fine Baptist girl aside one evening, and this is what he said. He said, "I can understand how you might take a fancy to this boy. Sometimes what's worst for us looks best. But there's one or two things you ought to know. First off, Earl comes from a family of sinners. They dance, and they sing, and they play card games, they carry on. The boy himself takes up where his kinfolk left off. He's been known to wager and to partake of intoxicating spirits. Worst of all, when he ought to be in church with the rest of us on Sunday mornings, he's been seen with a fishing pole heading for the creek." Doris's Pa summed it up this way: "I've told you these things so you'll understand. So you'll understand why I am forbidding you ever to see that no-account Earl ever again." Doris nodded sadly and went to her room in tears. Next morning, Pa found the ladder at Doris's open window. She and outlaw Earl had eloped. Doris's mom was most upset of all. The girl had disgraced the family, she said, further declaring that she would never speak to her daughter again. Well, everybody knew Doris's mom would go back on that promise. But nobody thought the elopement would last. It lasted, in fact, till death did them part. 49 years later, Doris and Earl now are together once more in a little cemetery in the mountains where weeds and wildflowers play. For once upon a Blue Ridge serenade near 80 years ago, there was a wild young man who got tamed to a point by the love of a fine Baptist girl. You see, Earl said so long to his roughneck friends, and he got baptized. He joined the Schuyler Baptist Church. He even took an oath never to gamble or drink and lived up to it for the rest of his life. He and Doris had 8 children, by the way, 8 of them, called their oldest son Earl Jr., Earl Hamner Jr., who one day went to Hollywood to tell a family story that you may have thought was made up. But now you've met John Boy's real mama and daddy, Doris and Earl. A Blue Ridge Romeo and Juliet who wrote their own happy ending, the Depression-era parents that the entire world came to love as the Waltons. Only now you know the rest of the story.
Hey, to learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular radio shows ever to air on WRJN, call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. You can be one of 4 category exclusive businesses to sponsor Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. 7:30 on the noggin. Let's check news now. Once again, here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A meeting of Racine's executive committee today could potentially break the deadlock in the city. The committee will review ordinance changes aimed at limiting Mayor Corey Mason's control over council agendas. That's a key demand of 6 boycotting council members. A 33-year-old female staff member at a Kenosha County elementary school is under investigation for alleged sexual misconduct. It's alleged to involve a current and former student. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department started investigating yesterday morning. They'd made an arrest at Riverview and Silver Lake by the afternoon. Official charges haven't yet been filed, with the woman currently being held at the Kenosha County Jail. There's some relief on one Racine County road. After a number of delays, road crews have officially opened up the roundabout at Highways 11 and J. There is still ongoing work at the circle being made at Highways 75 and A. And a conversation about Quick Trip takes place today in Kenosha. The City Plan Commission will look at a plan to tear down the Fireside restaurant on the city's north side and build a gas station / convenience store. Also on the agenda are plans for a new Kenosha Culver's that would go up a little bit north of that Fireside site. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Commodity brokers are watching South America as they kick off their delayed planting season thanks to recent rains. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday morning. We'll talk about it next.
Whether you're in the market to buy or sell, count on Steffes Group for any and all of your equipment this harvest season. Thinking about retirement or a career change? Steffes Group can support your next steps with reliable auction services. Visit steffesgroup.com today to see a full list of upcoming auctions in your area or nationwide, or to contact your local representative. That's steffesgroup.com.
Brazil finally has moisture in the ground. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing says that means planting season can begin in earnest for our southern competitors.
Yeah, they're a couple weeks behind, but the bulk of their planting occurs, you know, here now within the next basically month. So if the weather forecasts improve, they'll continue to push the planters. It's an interesting, you know, here we want some moisture in the soil. Down there, they wait for the moisture before they push the planters forward. You know, we want things to dry out before producers start rolling in our area. So it's a different mentality just because of the extremeness of the weather and just how that country lays out in terms of its, you know, overall geography.
Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. He says the comfortable amount of moisture in South America is going to put pressure on U.S. trade. Don't go anywhere. We'll take a look at our morning commodity markets next. Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Commodity prices are seeing a pop to kick off a Wednesday. From Chicago, December corn is up a penny and three quarters at 422 and a half. November soybeans are up a nickel and three quarters at 1022 a bushel. Cash wheat is up a nickel and a quarter at $6 a bushel. And July 2025 new crop wheat is up a nickel at 643 and a half. On the close yesterday from Chicago, cheese prices were down. Barrel cheese down a nickel and a quarter at $1.88. And the 40-pound block cheese closing down 2 cents at $1.92 and three quarters. But today, Class 3 milk prices are moving higher. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. The November contract is up 11 cents at $21.24 a hundredweight, and December Class 3 milk is up 13 cents at $20.78. That's your market update on a Wednesday morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Mild summery temperatures are only going to hang around for a couple more days. After that, fall will arrive. Today, mostly sunny, 67 tonight, down to 54. We'll get to 80 tomorrow. After that, we're talking 50s to low 60s through the weekend and into next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Young women that's in here, do a lot of older men hit on you? Yes. Here's a very smooth way to get an older man off you. Real smooth, all right? Next time an older dude come on in and be like, hey, sweet thing, how you doing, baby? All you gotta say is, I'm okay, mister. Shut down that whole operation. Mister? No, baby, don't do that to me. No, don't do that to me. No, my name Gregory. Call me Gregory. Okay, Mr. Gregory.
My guest is Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin Magazine. The new issue just hit. It's a, I don't know if, you don't call it bi-monthly. When it's every 2 months, what is it called? It's not called bi-monthly.
That's what we call it.
Okay, bi-monthly. I thought bi-monthly was twice a month. I always get confused by that. Our next story we want to talk about is one submitted by somebody from Racine, but the story takes place in Greenfield. It's about the mighty Wurlitzer, pizza and the Wurlitzer. Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, thanks for that. That's Organ Piper Pizza. You ever hear Van Halen played on a Wurlitzer organ?
Yeah, jump. Jump.
You and, will, so and jump Panama, on over yeah. there and listen. Yeah, Bob Ottom of Racine, a longtime reader and also scribe. He keeps for us. He keeps his eyes open. And around, and he lives in Racine, so he said, just up the road, not very far, is Greenfield, and Organ Piper Pizza. Now, this restaurant is a little bit of a throwback. Okay, yes, you have organ music in a pizza parlor. Now, this goes back to the 1970s and really the 60s, I think. There was a restaurant in California named Ye Old Pizza Joint, and they entertain people with organ music, pizza and pipes, and that was for many decades they did that, and it was kind of a chain, and now I think there's just three of these pizza and pipes places that exist, the Wisconsin spot we're talking about off Highway 100, and one in Arizona and Illinois. When I read this story, it took me back to the old Shakey's pizza parlors that were all around Wisconsin, They had music. It was kind of 1920s ragtime music feel. The guys wore straw boaters and vests and played a banjo, strummed, not picked, and that kind of riverboat music almost, that was a pretty big concept that was all over Wisconsin. At some point, I think the live music kind of went away, but the interesting thing was you could bring the kids, listen to some music, have pitchers of soda or maybe a beer, and be entertained. At Oregon Piper Pizza, they have a young man there who's not as young as he used to be, like all of us. He's been there quite a while, Zach Frame. For years he's been there, I think decades, he's been there playing the organ. Not just any kind of organ. This thing is...
It's a Wurlitzer, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a Wurlitzer, 361 note keyboards. It's like a theater organ. Three keyboards, 61 notes, 32 foot pedals, hundreds of tabs and buttons, 604 controls right there at his feet and fingertips. It was originally in the Seneca Theater in Buffalo, New York, in 1929.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Had several homes. But interesting thing about Zach is he was voted the American Theater Organ Society's 2022 Theater Organist of the Year. Okay. He's self-taught. And the first organ playing he saw was as a five-year-old in 1992. He was a five-year-old, and his parents took him for pizza, and these kids are eating, but not him. He's five, and he's staring at this organist, and he's watching the guys set for 45 minutes, and 45 minutes later, that piece of pizza is untouched, still in his plate. This guy was so fascinated, and it became his life and livelihood.
Well, my wife is teaching me the piano now. I'm taking piano lessons at my age. And maybe someday I'll play the Wurlitzer. When I was a kid, we used to go to Radio City Music Hall all the time because it was a movie theater at the time. And before the show started, they had they used to call it the Mighty Wurlitzer. And this thing was huge. It was off to the left of the stage, and they used to raise it up from the floor. And this guy played the Wurlitzer in between. They had a circus act. They had the Wurlitzer guy. then they showed the movie. But yeah, and the Rockettes, of course. But I used to watch him on the Wurlitzer, and this guy just played it just amazing with no effort whatsoever. And it was fun to watch him, and he played at every performance of every movie at Radio City Music Hall. It was fun to watch the guy, too. So that guy, go ahead.
That's got to be the granddaddy of it, Radio City Music Hall. But these organs that rise up from the pit below the stage, the grand movie theaters of the 20s, 30s, et cetera, in the United States, that was I don't know if I want to say common, but it was around. People could see that, and there are some theaters in small towns that still have organs of this size and caliber. Up near Hurley, I'm going to sneak over the line into Michigan just a bit, but they're twin cities, Ironwood, Hurley. At the historic Ironwood Theater, they have one of these organs, and these places are restored, you know, with the grand ceilings painted above them and things. There are many of these theaters around. I think Oshkosh has one, certainly in Milwaukee, Pabst Theater. They have these organs, and so often they'll invite people from the audience who can play to come down and play, and sometimes it's astonishing. Makes you think maybe there's a plant in the audience, but not sometimes some of these folks step up and have a lot of fun with it. I know they do that at Ironwood, and I don't know if Zach Frame would, when your wife has you trained up enough, maybe he'll let you come up and play a song you had prepared.
You don't want to hear the song. Although I know how to play "Where Is Love" from Oliver. That's probably the most recognizable song that I play. I also play the theme from Jaws, and it's not just two notes. There are more than two notes in the theme from Jaws, so I'm able to play that and a few other things.
So you're saying they won't sell very much pizza that people have in their dinner while listening to you play?
I can play. I just started playing with two hands now. I learned with one, and now I can play with two hands. Not much, but I just started doing that. So before you know it, I'll be on the mighty Wurlitzer too. You know, speaking about the Wurlitzer, there's a guy here in Racine, and I wish I had more information in my fingertips now about this. He got one of these theater Wurlitzers, and he built it in this basement, and he was giving concerts. He got in trouble for it because he made a theater in his basement. But he reconstructed it there, and that's where it is today. He saved this Wurlitzer organ from one of the movie theaters. So, you're right, every one of these movie palaces had one at one time. And some, you know, went by the wayside, some were preserved. We've got to talk about this. This is, talk about Greenfield. This is another Greenfield story about a woman who worked at a shoe store. And, you know, you think, how can you make a story out of that? But you did. Whoever wrote the story did make a story out of this woman who worked at a shoe store over at Southridge Mall.
Yeah, so these days, so often, you go into a department store to get your shoes, and there's shelves and shelves and shelves and shelves of boxes, and a couple of them have the boxes. There'll be a shoe out there as a sample and an example, and you got to kind of read down the numbers and find your size. Well, this story harks to 1970 when Southridge Mall was built in Greenfield, or opened in Greendale. And that was the era, early 70s was the era of the malls all over the state. Oshkosh, Milwaukee, at Northridge, Southridge, Mayfair. Many of these are closed down now and gone to different way we shop in different ways now. But when Southridge opened, I think at the time it was the largest mall in Wisconsin, spread out there in Greendale, and Robin Zadroit from neighboring Greenfield was 17, needed a job, and her friends were getting hired at the stores there in Greendale. Big things were going on, and so she applied, and they put her in women's fashions, and she hated women's sportswear. She hated that for some reason, the 17-year-old girl. She wanted something to be a little busier, I think, good work ethic. She asked for a transfer to the shoe department. Okay. This was a little different in those days. First of all, the clerk had to determine what size that person's foot was. Maybe a lady says, I'm a size 6. No, she's a size 8. Whoever, and the way to determine that was with the Brannock device, this metal contraption, shiny stainless steel, black. Put your heel back in the cup here, your right heel or your left heel. And then they moved the measuring, I don't know what you'd call it, wings, flanges that would tighten on your shoe and on your foot, and give a reading as to the size, length, and width, and it was always cold on your foot, okay, as you sat in these chairs that were all linked together tightly, the person knelt in front of you, and then went to a back room in the mall, some places, the older stores, was up and down the stairs 15 times, and brought back a stack of boxes that might fit you. And out comes the tissue paper, and try that on, says your mom, if you're a kid. And they lace one up and walk down the aisle, and then you got to, take the clerk could take his or her thumb, put it on your front, on your big toe, and see if it's touching the end. And if you're a kid, maybe your mom would say, yeah, there's a little room to grow into that. Those shoes would last longer. But Robin sold shoes, and she said it was the best job she ever had. It was her first real job, okay? And she had to learn the ropes. When people would bring infants in for their first baby shoes, she learned a very valuable tip. When you went to put a shoe on a child, on an infant, they tended to scrunch your toes up and tighten their little foot together there. And an old clerk told her a trick. What you do is tug on the back of the infant's sock, and it they'd relax their toes.
Oh,
just
okay.
Do that. Slide it into the shoe, and there you go. So Robin worked there for several years, and she got it, I think, all through high school. She got another job at a bank, but at 27th and Layton, but as a teller. But she still kept her Penny's job. And I'm sorry if I didn't mention that. She was working at Penny's shoe store. And she learned how to earn money, budget her money, be on time, be punctual, be, you know, a teammate, everything you need in an employee. But every once in a while, she and her friends did donuts out in that huge parking lot with her 67 Camaro. And when the shift got a little slow, they'd go in the back room and play shoehorn kick. They'd put a shoehorn on their foot and see who could kick it the furthest down the aisle. And high school kids have fun at work.
Yeah.
So these are the kind of stories folks send us.
Yeah, I actually still have my baby shoes, by the way. My mother still had them when she passed away. I found it in the box, and those are my baby shoes. I still have them. And
are you going to bronze them?
My brother had his, my mother bronzed his. Mine weren't bronzed. No, I'm not gonna bronze them. They look pretty worn. Yeah. When we come back, we're gonna talk about pigeons because my dad was the biggest pigeon fancier you'll ever meet.
Wow.
And we'll talk about that coming up in a moment. Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin Magazine. My guest this hour here at WRJN, local news, timeless hits.
Come out and visit Time and Again Music. We have a huge selection of vinyl, over 10,000 titles in stock. We've got everything. We got rock, soul, jazz, country, R&B, soundtracks. So a little of this, a little of that. Make a list every time you hear something on the radio. Have a little tiny pad of paper somewhere. Jot down a group, a song title. That way when you come in, you've got an idea of what you're looking for. I'm Ray Zirkel, owner of Time and Again Music. 9602 Durand Avenue in Sturtevant. It's a block west of the Antique School Mall.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Just who is Peter Barca? Barca is a career politician we simply can't trust. We can't trust him to protect law enforcement because Barca raised money for an anti-police group that called our officers occupying soldiers. Can't trust Barca on the border either. He voted to support sanctuary cities putting violent criminals before our families. And while fentanyl floods our streets, Barca chose radical politics over our safety. Our veterans can't trust Peter Barca. He voted to cut the benefits they earned and deserve, endangering our families and communities, dishonoring our veterans. We just can't trust a career politician like Peter Barca.
I'm Brian Style. I'm working to support families, stand with law enforcement, and honor our veterans. Families are struggling to afford the things that they need. That's why I'm working to lower costs and stop wasteful spending. I'm Brian Style, and I approve this message because together we will get our country back on track.
Paid for by Style for Wisconsin.
Don Rosen with me this morning is Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin Magazine. The new issue just hit. And I got to preface this next story by saying my dad was the biggest pigeon fancier. And pigeon fancier is somebody who raises pigeons. He did it when he was a little kid. He had a pigeon coop on top of his house on Surf Avenue in Coney Island, Brooklyn. Then he went off to war for 4 years. Had somebody watch his pigeons. Came back. The pigeons were still there. And when they got married, I think he got rid of them for a while. And then we moved out to Long Island when I was a little kid, and he brought them back. And he built a pigeon coop with baseboard heating, airflow for the summer. And these pigeons live better than we did. And he used to fly them in the neighborhood much to the hate of our neighbors. He used to fly them to homing pigeons, and they'd come right back again. But he did this from 1955 until the year 2000, when he finally moved to Florida and he had to dismantle the coop and get rid of his pigeons. But you have a story here about Wisconsin people who raised pigeons, and it's just for fun. So let's talk about that.
Well, you lived it.
Let me just say this, Mike. When the pigeons were sick, I had to feed them before I went to school by putting oatmeal in my mouth, and the little babies had to eat the oatmeal out of my mouth with their beaks. That's what I had to do. So,
oh, my. Okay, well, yeah, maybe I shouldn't ask you any more questions. But, yeah, we hear Barbara Palzowitz from Two Rivers in Manitowoc County told us a story about her dad, Jack Alley, who started raising and training homing pigeons when he was 16. He became a member of the Two Rivers Racing Pigeon Club, and this was a big deal. And this, I guess this man lived to race these birds. There were competitions for him at that time in the club of 500 to 600 miles for the pigeons. They'd transport them and time them, see how long it took them to make their way back home. Now, some of these birds, they've been known to fly up to 1,100 miles and make their way back home at 50 miles an hour. Great distances. Science is not completely sure about how these birds can find their way back home and how they navigate. It could have something to do with the Earth's magnetic fields. That's been posited. Stars in the sky, certainly with migrating birds. Homing pigeons are interesting birds. The one thing, harking to World War One, and she was telling this story, before the days of a lot of radio communication, World War One, homing pigeons were used to deliver messages for military purposes. Even the two-wing, the biplane pilots would take them up and have a cage with one or two of them inside the open cockpit plane, and they would write a message, put it on the bird's leg capsule, and would drop it over the side, but you had to do that carefully. You had to give that pigeon about two wraps of toilet tissue. Why? Because when you drop it and the prop wash is hitting that bird, it could blow its wings apart. Feathers are light. But that gave the pigeon just a little bit of time to get under it and out of that violent wind, could shake off that paper real easy and fly on its way. Now, Jack Alley, like your father, had a pigeon coop you could almost eat off the floor of. It was so clean.
Yeah.
He was giving his pigeons cod liver oil to perk them up. And this family never took vacations because Dad was racing his birds spring and summer and had to keep watch like a sentinel in the backyard. Don't disturb Dad, because he could spot these birds about a mile out, and he knew roughly when to expect them, trained them. I don't know, this kind of ties in with your oatmeal story, but any birds that were washed out, they went in the stew pot. These folks ate squab quite often.
No, we never ate them. We never ate our pigeons. They were just pets.
You eat pigeon eggs?
No. We never did that either.
These folks did. But the pigeons would, in these contests would fly, and they carried a rubber band with an individual number on it.
Right.
And that's on the bird's leg.
Right.
And there also was a seal clock. I think these are made in Belgium. And when a bird came back with a tag on it, you put it in that clock, and it recorded the exact time so that the race was all fair and square. And there were trophies. Very big hobby. A lot of people are involved in it. I don't know. It's still going on today. I don't know if it is as big as it was back in the 50s.
Yeah. We just touched on a couple of articles in this bi-monthly issue, the October-November issue of Our Wisconsin magazine. There was so much in here. If you're planning a trip around Wisconsin, the ads alone will help you plan your trip to where you're going. This is a real treasure for the state of Wisconsin, Our Wisconsin magazine. Editor Mike Bina was with me. And if people want to get an issue, if they want to get a subscription, how do they do it?
Okay, grab a pen because I'm going to give you a 800 number, and that is 877-717-8925.
I actually grabbed a pen when you said that.
Thank you. Someone listens to me.
877-717-8925. And if you miss it, text me here at the station or call, and I'll give it to you. 877-717-8925. I love having you on. The next time we talk, it'll be the Christmas issue, Thanksgiving Christmas issue.
Okay, you better be.